Chapter 9. Back Home. They discovered that a ship called Tsarina Catherine had sailed from London that morning, and that, just before it left, a man had loaded a single box onto the boat. It had set sail for the Black Sea, and Van Helsing had no doubt that Count Dracula was on board the ship. The five men and Mina immediately boarded a train for Paris, and from there they were headed for the Black Sea port of Varna. They waited for 2 weeks without any news of the ship. Mina constantly dreamed of water and the sounds of the sea. Dr. Seward and the professor examined her regularly to see if she was showing the same symptoms that her poor friend Lucy had. One day, there was a thick mist across the sea, which meant that no one could see the Tsarina Catherine as it passed the port of Varna and headed up the river. "We are forgetting, gentlemen," Van Helsing said when he heard that the ship had passed them, "that Madame Mina can read the Count's thoughts, but he can also read hers." The professor told them that he believed the Count was returning to his castle. "The best thing that we can do is to have Arthur and Jonathan take a boat and follow the ship up the river. Quincy and the doctor will follow the course of the river on horseback, and I will accompany Madame Mina by train to Veresti and then to the Count's home." Before they left, Van Helsing took Seward to one side to speak to him in private. "There has been a change in Madame Mina," he whispered. "Sometimes I see the same hardness in her eyes that we saw in her friend Lucy. Her teeth have also become sharper. We must act fast, my friend, otherwise I fear that we may lose Mina to the vampire and lose her soul for eternity." Jonathan and Arthur spent 2 days on the river pursuing the Tsarina Catherine, but they did not see any sign of her. Eventually, they spoke to a local who told them that he had seen a ship which matched the description of the vessel they were chasing. He told them that the ship had been moving extraordinarily fast up the river. With this news, the two men were filled with hope, but as they made their way further along, the river became narrower and more treacherous. They decided to abandon the boat and continue on horseback in the hope of reaching the castle at the same time as the professor and Jonathan's wife. Meanwhile, Van Helsing and Mina had reached the town of Veresti. From there they hired a carriage and some horses and continued on the road towards the castle. The professor hardly slept, and at every village they reached, he would change the horses and continue tirelessly onward. As they climbed higher into the mountains, Mina seemed to take greater interest in the road on which they were travelling. Eventually, a dark, gloomy silhouette appeared in the distance. It was Count Dracula. Van Helsing stopped the carriage. The air was cold and snow was beginning to fall, so he made a fire. Whilst Mina was sitting next to the fire, the professor drew a circle around her in the snow. He then placed holy bread around the circle. "Come here, Madame Mina," Van Helsing said from outside the circle. Mina stood up and walked towards the professor, but when she reached the edge of the circle, it appeared as if she could not move any further. Something was stopping her. "So it is true," thought Van Helsing. "She cannot leave the circle because of the holy bread. She is already half vampire." However, the professor knew that if Mina could not leave the circle, it meant that other vampires could not enter into it. "We will both be safe inside the circle," he thought. Throughout the night, the horses seemed unsettled and made frightened noises. Often the professor went to calm them. In the early hours of the morning, the fire began to dim. Van Helsing wanted to go and collect more wood, but Mina stopped him. "Don't leave the circle," she said. "Stay here where you are safe." "It is not me I am worried about, Madame Mina," the professor replied. "It is you who is in danger." Mina laughed in a strange way and then said, "Nobody is safer from them than me, dear professor." Van Helsing was about to ask Mina what she meant, but before he could, the horses screamed, and in the darkness he could make out the shape of three women. "They must be the same evil creatures that drank Jonathan's blood," he said to himself. The three women called out to Mina. Van Helsing knew that the young girl wanted to join them. He picked up a piece of burning wood and threw it at the three creatures, who screamed and then disappeared. The professor turned to look at Mina. There was a terrible look in her eyes. He knew then that there was no doubt at all. Mina was a vampire. Jonathan, Arthur, Dr. Seward and Quincy Morris had ridden throughout the night. They knew that the enemy was not far from them. They were filled with a great nervous excitement. As they reached the mountain road, which the professor and Mina had taken the previous evening, they saw ahead of them a cart being driven by a number of men. They knew immediately that the box containing the count was inside the cart. As they began to ascend the mountain, they heard a gunshot. Quickly, Jonathan drew his knife and Quincy placed his hand on his gun, ready for the confrontation ahead. Van Helsing was standing in front of the cart. He was holding a gun, but Dracula's men, who were driving the cart, knew that he was only one man. They knew that they would be able to overwhelm him if they attacked together. Suddenly, four men on horseback were upon them. Jonathan was riding the fastest. He was like a madman, determined to save the one person he loved most in the world, his dear wife, Mina. Jonathan and Quincy jumped off their horses and attacked the men on the cart. The fight was swift, but Quincy was injured and fell to the ground holding his side. Seward and Arthur fought off the remaining men, whilst Jonathan climbed onto the cart. Quincy followed him, although he was badly injured, and the two men ripped open the box. There inside lay Count Dracula. The light was fading and darkness was approaching. As the final rays of daylight disappeared, the Count opened his eyes. It was a horrendous sight. An evil smile spread across Dracula's face. He knew that when night fell, he would be unstoppable. Jonathan knew that he had to act fast. He didn't have a stake to plunge into the Count's heart, so he took his knife and pushed it into Dracula's neck. Quincy too took out his knife and forced it into the Count's chest. Dracula let out a terrifying scream, but still the two men hacked at his body. Again and again they stabbed at the Count's neck and chest, until the head came away from the body. Even after this terrible event, the head continued to scream, but the men were unable to look away. Then, suddenly, all was silent, and a strange, restful look came over the face of the Count. Moments later, his body disappeared, and the two men were looking into an empty box. Quincy Morris collapsed to the ground, and seeing he was hurt, Mina ran towards him. "We've defeated him," she cried. "We've destroyed the Count." Quincy looked at her. His voice was weak. "I'm glad I could be of service to you, Madam Mina," was all he said, and then he closed his eyes. The brave American adventurer had given his life to save his friends. Mina, Jonathan and the remaining men stood around the body of the gallant young man. They knew that his sacrifice had been the greatest that anyone could ask. "Have you noticed the change in Madam Mina?" Van Helsing finally asked Dr. Seward. The doctor knew exactly what the professor was saying. The hard look in Mina's eyes, the sharpness of her teeth, had both suddenly disappeared. She was the young, innocent girl she had always been. The curse had been lifted, the horror was over, and a soul had been saved.